I'm talking today with Peggy Richter, MD, who is an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the Institute of Medical Science at the University of Toronto. She's also the director of the Clinic for OCD and Related Disorders Department of Psychiatry at Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center and an affiliate scientist at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. We'll be talking about CBT and psychopharmacology for OCD. Thank you, Dr. Richter, for joining me.
Thank you, Jean.
Let me ask you first, what medications are often used to treat OCD, or most often used to treat OCD?
Well, the first-line medications, the drugs that most doctors would turn to off the bat, are a class of drugs we call the SSRIs, which stands for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These are a commonly used class of antidepressants. It would include drugs known to a lot of people already. The generic names are drugs like paroxetine, sertraline, escitalopram.
Okay. And how well do most patients respond to those drugs?
Well, like anything else, there are pros and cons. So medication is a first-line treatment for OCD, but it has real limits. On average, about 60 to 70% of people will improve with one drug. And if they're willing to persist, which people with OCD need to learn to do, I'm making a little joke there because people with OCD can persist, but it's important to persist with treatment because unfortunately people get frustrated. If the first agent doesn't work, another may work better.
Okay. When do you introduce CBT into the treatment plan, or is that something you start with? And I suppose you should also explain what CBT is and how it works a little bit.
I'm really glad you're asking me that question, Jean. CBT stands for Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, and it's a type of psychological treatment in which we focus both on behavioral patterns that may be sustain the problem and continue the problem, as well as dysfunctional attitudes or beliefs people have. When it comes to an illness like OCD, we often talk about something that is referred to as ERP, which stands for exposure and response prevention. And the basic premise there for people with OCD is learning to confront those things that trigger their anxiety and then resist the urge to ritualize. It sounds challenging because it is challenging, but it is also actually the most effective treatment. So to come full circle, I'm really glad you asked me that because I'm a physician who also practices CBT. And to make no bones about it, the most effective treatment for people in the long term, if they can do it, is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay. So patients, especially those whose illnesses may be improving or may not be improving, might wonder how you decide on the type of treatment. Can you address the factors that you look at for each individual or how you weigh one over the other, or when to combine them, or whatever decisions you make?
Absolutely. So as I said before, CBT in the long run is the most effective treatment, but it's also far more demanding. Typically, it's delivered by meeting with a therapist weekly for anywhere from 6 to 30 weeks. In OCD, a rough rule of thumb would be 12 to 20 sessions for most people to get the kind of response they want. But meeting with your therapist once a week is just the start. The real basis of change is by learning to change the circuitry activity in the brain, to really look at plasticity in the brain and learning new responses, and that takes daily practice. So for people to get the most out of their CBT, they need to be willing to invest really about an hour a day, at least 5 days a week, doing those things which challenge themselves as they're ready, not before they're ready and not to an overwhelming degree, but that is very tough work. So right off the bat, there are many people who will say, they're not prepared to do that, they're not in a position in their life where they can invest the time, or they may be so overwhelmed by either the severity of the OCD or the burden of other illnesses as well that have come along with it, some depression, some panic attacks, for example, that they may say, I would much rather take a pill, which is much simpler, it may have side effects, but I'm willing to put up with those, and it will hopefully give me some improvement. And for somebody who feels that way, CBT can then be brought aboard later.
Okay. So the patient makes the decision with the doctor?
Should be a discussion with understanding of what each route involves and what the pros and the cons are.
Okay. So what kinds of questions should patients ask their doctors to help them arrive at the best treatment for them?
Well, if somebody has OCD, and they're seeing a doctor, and the doctor never raises the question of CBT, to me that would be a red flag, because CBT is the other first-line treatment that works better for people at maintaining gains. I think another issue would be if there's no plan, even if they say CBT isn't for now, to not even raise it for later, or to do education about how common OCD is and what the key features are. All of this is information that's readily available, but if the doctor isn't offering it, those to me are worrisome things about the nature of the way treatment is being arranged.
Okay. So for those who are going to take some kind of medication, can you talk about a little bit about the benefits and the risk of each kind that's commonly used for OCD?
So all of the SSRIs, Gene, seem to work about as effectively as any other. There's no clear winner. They're all drugs that do work for OCD. They also have the added advantage of working for the common comorbid problems, problems like depression or other anxiety disorders. So in that sense, you can think of them as a two-for-one or three-for-one if you happen to have those other disorders, which is really very common for folks with OCD. Having said that, there are common side effects associated with their use. Some of the common ones are things like sleepiness, sedation, or a feeling of being somewhat agitated. And for that reason, some drugs are better taken morning or night. They can get some diarrhea or constipation, feelings of shakiness or tremor, increased sweating, headaches, and sexual side effects. And those would be some of the commonplace ones. That may sound quite dreadful, but the reality is that most people tolerate these drugs extremely well. And another perspective is that the side effects tell you that you're getting active drug in your system. So another way to view them in a positive light is say, okay, at least this means I'm getting into a dose level, hopefully where I may begin to have some benefit. If I may, I'd also like to add that it's very important that people getting drug therapy for OCD realize that it takes quite a while for the drugs to have an onset of effect for OCD, far longer than in depression. So we usually tell people with OCD to be prepared to give 6 to 12 weeks at a minimum to each drug they try, because that's how long it can take to see onset of benefit.
Okay, and something we hadn't discussed before, drug withdrawal, that is not something that people should do if they feel for some reason it's not working immediately, or they're impatient, or if there's some side effect they really can't tolerate. What do you recommend then?
It's very important then to discuss it with their physician, because like any medication, they have their good side and their bad side. So there can be feelings of withdrawal, which can often revolve around flu-like symptoms without a fever, but for example, the shakiness or the feeling of a clouded mind. For some people, there can be also more challenging symptoms as well in terms of stomach upset. So as a general rule, it's far better to taper off these drugs in a controlled fashion. It may not take all that long, but doing it with your doctor will help you avoid these problems.
Okay, so when patients are in treatment, is there a general kind of a time frame, a wished for, an optimal length of treatment? You mentioned something earlier, but give that time frame again.
So again, for medication, it's really important to give them long enough. And this is a common mistake made not just by consumers, but by doctors as well, who think of OCD like the way they treat depression. So really, a good rule of thumb is 10 to 12 weeks for OCD drug treatment trials. On top of which, with OCD, unlike depression, we generally find the higher the dose, the better. So it's very important to also try and push the dose with your doctor's supervision to that higher dosage recommended for this disorder, as long as you comfortably tolerate it. That never implies taking a drug which has side effects that you can't manage. In CBT, a course of treatment, as I said, is usually somewhere around 12 to 30 sessions, usually delivered once or twice a week. So in both cases, we're talking about a period of 3 to 4 months. Now, if they benefit, it's important to keep in mind with medication that most people would advocate for at least a year or so of stability before trying to do a controlled taper. Because one thing we know about medication is that although they're quite effective, the benefits tend to drop off when you discontinue them, and the relapse rate is very high. CBT, by contrast, has a very low rate of relapse. People have learned new techniques and apply them in their daily life, and so typically at least 80% of people will retain their benefit even 5 years later.
Oh, that's good news. Yeah, my next question was, how is relapsing managed when it does occur?
So that's where, again, cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT can play a role, even if medication was the agreed upon treatment of choice to start with for any one of those reasons we discussed. CBT might be now something that the person could come back to, maybe now that their panic attacks are treated, maybe their mood is no longer so depressed and they feel they have the strength and the motivation to try challenging their symptoms. And with CBT, one can try a very graduated taper of the medication, and that can be a very successful strategy for some.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this topic?
Yes, it's really important for people who are recognizing that they have symptoms of OCD to learn about it themselves and become educated as consumers, because no one is going to be as passionate about their care as they will themselves. And the good news is there are lots of great websites and great self-help books. And a few to start with would be the ADAA itself, which has great information, and the International OCD Foundation run out of the U.S. as well.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Richter. This is Jean Kaplan-Tycro for ADAA.